En along the hall, at night. Oh, along the hall, yes, along the hall, when the stars are shining bright. I love her in the springtime, and I love her in the warm. But last night, on the back porch, I loved her best of all.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Antique Phonograph Music Program. Here I am, your host, Mac, bringing you once again an hour of music via the Victrola. And today is one of those times where I have a guest with me on the show. And today is Mr. Tony Donato, who is a member of the Antique Phonograph Enthusiast Group on Facebook, who I've met before. And as you know, I'm always looking to have guests on the show to give us their point of view on collecting. So Tony has bought a pile of shellac to share with us today and listen to. So welcome, Tony.
Michael, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to always have guests on the show. And you're a relatively new collector of 78s, is that correct?
That's true. My collection of the machines, the antique machines, started about a year ago. And I have two Victrolas. I have a VV-405 from 1924 and a portable VV-50 from 1921.
That's one of those suitcase types.
That's exactly right, yeah, from the first year of production. And previously, my interest in jazz had been 40s, 50s, 60s. And once I started delving into the machines, it acted as a gateway drug to investigating the
gateway addiction.
That's right. And I mean, obviously, I was aware of Armstrong and Django Reinhardt, that kind of thing. But once I started buying the 78s, I began delving into it in more detail, to the point where I installed a cartridge designed for 78s on my home turntable. That way I could play the records much more readily without having to necessarily crank up the machine all the time. It started becoming more about the music, you know, and then the interest in the machines was a separate thing.
Right. So the period of music, but you chose to, because really within the last few years, more than that, so much of this music has become available on the internet.
That's exactly
right. Where you can get a copy of almost anything, but still, you're choosing to go back to the original machines and hear the records on those machines also as part of the experience, which is, I think, what a lot of people love about these old machines.
That's exactly right. I was a phonograph enthusiast from as far back as I can remember. I remember being 4 and 5 years old, and my next oldest sister, who was a young teenager at the time, she would have her girlfriends over, and they would play the Monkees 45s, you know, and then they would leave. And then I would play the B-sides of the singles that they were playing.
Right.
So I became interested in more obscure stuff from an early age. So my fascination with the machines began right from the beginning.
I did a similar thing going backwards and being interested in the records and the time and so on. So you brought a pile of records with you to play for everybody. So what did we hear there first?
That was Paul Whiteman. Paul Whiteman and his orchestra last night on the back porch. From what I gather, because I wasn't there at the time, but from what I gather, Paul Whiteman was kind of like the Beatles of his day in a way. He was hugely popular.
Oh, yeah. He has so many records. He was, as far as the 20s go, so you can't get away from his records. He was a hit machine, pretty
That's
much.
Right. That's right. I guess if Louis Armstrong was the Beatles, then Paul Whiteman was the Rolling Stones.
Maybe.
Or maybe more like the Kinks.
I think that in the 20s, probably Paul Whiteman sold many more records than Louis Armstrong.
I would imagine. Yeah. I guess from historical reputation, I guess I'm speaking.
Right. Well, there you go. Well, we'll talk some more, but let's move on to another record. What are we going to hear next?
We are now going to hear Waring's Pennsylvanians doing Here or There from 1927.
All right.
Romancing and glancing and dancing went to my head, went right to my head. I took her home to mine. She made a hit with mine. I'm going steady and I'm feeling ready and I'm keeping company now.
Good upbeat number there, Tony.
Yeah, that was the Revelers doing Plodding Along.
Feels to me like they always had the next step in the evolution of the barbershop quartet and harmonies.
That's exactly right.
Just sort of taking it to a more peppy level. But
I think so. I think I tend to use the term jazz a little loosely. I'm sure some of these tunes might be considered pop, you know, or well, jazz or...
Jazz can be pop. Opera was pop at one point.
That's true. If pop is short for popular, then if it was popular, it was pop.
Popular. Popular music.
That's exactly right.
But nice number from them. And what else did we hear before that?
Right before the Revelers, we had Rudy Valli.
Yes.
Doing I'm Keeping Company Now.
Nice, nice. What a
I should stop singing on the air.
Great crooner he was.
Exactly. Very, very, some might say oily, but I think he was just smooth.
Oily. He was one of the guys who established that close-up mic
well, that's it.
Singing style.
That's an example of how technology influences art.
Right.
Because that style of singing wasn't possible until the electric mic, right?
It totally was not possible at all. So when the mic came, that close of thing, it just felt intimate.
That's like right.
Rudy Valley was right whispering in my ear. And I'd be jealous. So there you go. And all right. So you seem to have brought with you a lot of dance bandy, upbeat kind of numbers.
That's right.
Is that an area that you're really very interested in, you find?
It seems to sum up a certain feeling in the air from based on my reading of the jazz age in the 1920s, you know. The 1920s was a really fascinating age in general because from what I gather, it was the start of what we consider pop culture today,
mm-hmm.
you know, like the movies became huge business in the 20s. Radio began regularly scheduled radio broadcasts, I should say, began like in 1919, 1920. And then Prohibition. It created this whole social environment where music was everywhere and it just exploded. So the tracks I selected to my mind, you know, and I'm sure everyone has a completely different take on it, but to my mind, it seems to sum up the vibe and the feel of the era, that energetic, frenetic feeling.
Right, right. And you seem to have a list of a combination of acoustic and electric records.
Well, yeah, some of them are from earlier in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I would say roughly half. I didn't use that as a criteria for selecting. It was just but yeah, the Rudy Valley was later in the 20s. Which would I don't think Rudy Valley could have recorded a song like that in 1922.
No way.
It's funny how in just a few short years it changed so dramatically.
It really did.
Mm-hmm.
It really did. Okay. Well, let's continue with some more music. What do we have next?
Next is the Majestic Dance Orchestra. Gee, but I'd like to make you happy.
All right. Let's hear it.
Thank you.
there she is. That's what keeps me up at night. Oh, gee whiz, oh, gee whiz. That's why I can't eat a bite. Those flaming eyes, that flaming youth. Oh, mister, oh, sister, tell me the truth. Now, ain't she sweet? See her coming down the street. I ask you confidentially, ain't she sweet? Ain't she nice? Look her over once or twice. I ask you confidentially, ain't she nice? Cast an eye in her direction. Oh, me, oh, my. Ain't that perfection? I repeat, don't you think that's kind of neat? I ask you confidentially, ain't she sweet? Tell me where, have you seen one just like that? I declare, that sure is worth looking at. Oh boy, how sweet those lips must be. Oh, gaze on it, doggone it, answer me. Ain't she sweet? See her coming down the street. I ask you confidentially, ain't she sweet? Ain't she nice? Look her over once or twice. I ask you confidentially, ain't she nice? Just cast a little old eye in her direction. Oh, me, oh, my, my, my. Ain't that perfection? I repeat, don't you think that's kind of neat? I ask you confidentially, ain't she sweet? Just cast an eye, why, in her direction. Oh, me, oh, my, 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 that perfection. I repeat, don't you think that's kind of neat? I ask you confidentially, ain't she sweet?
All right. Well, that's a number that will be familiar to everybody.
Yes. Gene Austin doing Ain't She Sweet. I deliberately picked that one because Ain't She Sweet is an enduring piece of Americana, as they might say. And I thought that it might help a listener who is not familiar with the stuff identify with it a little bit more if it was a tune that they might have known already.
Yeah. As I began collecting this period of music, there were definitely some records that I'd heard through cartoons.
Yes.
Commercial jingles.
Well, you know, Michael, I come from a generation whose knowledge of classical music comes from Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Oh, absolutely.
The Minute Waltz by Chopin. Do you remember that one?
Absolutely. For sure. And I was talking recently on an episode where I played Leopold Stokowski. And remember the episode where Bugs Bunny comes out? He's got this posture, and they're all like, Leopold! Leopold!
That's
Leopold!
Right.
And he's walking out. And it was the opera singer one, where the opera singer wouldn't let him sing Oh, Susanna in the backyard because he was practicing opera.
I do remember that. I could have a whole other conversation about Bugs Bunny.
Yeah. Well, let's refrain from that and move back on to the phonograph.
That's right.
So do you have a pretty big collection at this point, or how are you
of
feeling
machines?
About it? Of records.
I've got a couple hundred at this point. And, you know, it's funny. It all happened very incrementally and organically.
Mm-hmm.
The fellow who sold me my first phonograph, the VV-405, Paul Eady, he's in Michigan, I believe. He gave me a collection of starter records to start off my collection with. And initially, I just wanted to get my hands on whatever I could because I didn't know anything about it. And
right.
So the best way is to delve right in. So he gave me a mix of like early 1900s and the teens and a couple things from the 20s. And but I began to realize that while academically I loved learning about all of it, and I still continue to do so, what really got my toe tapping, I guess you'd say, would be like the kind of stuff we've been listening to today.
Right.
So I've been honing my interests more that way.
Yeah.
Something interesting about these records, a pattern, unlike today's pop music, these records, you'll go halfway through the record before you'll hear a vocal.
Yeah, it's very much the pattern. It gets you going, a little vocal refrain.
Yes.
And then back into the music part again and out.
And then at a certain point, probably not until like the 40s or 50s, it became about the vocal.
Right.
You know, where the vocal just kind of came in right at the beginning.
And that whole format is obviously catered around the limitation of the size of the record and how much time you have. So like a little music, the singing, in the end, we're out.
That's exactly right.
So,
and another thing about this music is it's very earnest. You know, gee, but I'd like to make you happy. You know, there's just something very sweet about that. And
corny.
Well, we would consider it corny today, but I think at the time, I don't think people were jaded yet.
Gee, you really think so, Wall?
That's exactly right. I think cynicism is more of a post-World War II byproduct.
Hmm.
That's around the time that film noir became big. You know, that kind of dark, brooding thing, you know?
Right, right. As it relates to popular music. Okay. Well, let's continue now with some more records.
All right. Sounds great.
What's going to be next?
We've got Wedding Bells. Jerome Conrad and his orchestra.
Oh, this is a Harmony record, which is always a great sounding label.
Yes, that's true. The quality in this is quite nice.
They're a label that was from a studio that was built just before electricity came along. So it was the height of acoustic technology. Mm-hmm. Then electricity came along and they're like, oh, we just can't close down right away. So they kept recording a bit and have some just great sounding acoustic records, some of the best sounding acoustic records.
That's true. I didn't know that bit of trivia about Harmony.
Yeah. There you go. Here we go.
Of you. I told the four-leaf clover, I talk about you all the day through. I'm telling the birds, telling the bees, telling the flowers, and telling the trees how I love you. I'm telling the moon, telling the sun, telling the stars, and telling each one how I love you. I feel so happy and I show it. I want the whole wide world to know it. The shady old nook, the shadows that fall, the little old brook, I'm telling them all how I love you.
Don't get it.
All right. More peppy little numbers there, Tony. Really, this is a dance show, I think.
I guess, yeah, that's right. I didn't think of it that way. It's true.
Yeah, absolutely. So what did we hear there last?
Well, that was That's My Weakness Now by Abe Lyman and his California Orchestra.
Yeah, they made a lot of records.
Yes, and before that was I'm Telling the Birds, Telling the Bees by Cliff Edwards. That's another one that listeners might be familiar with if they're not familiar with this music.
Really good guitar playing on that record.
That's true.
Because he was, I knew him more as a ukulele playing mm-hmm. player. I wonder if he was playing guitar on that. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And then before that, we had Wedding Bells by Jerome Conrad. That's another classic tune.
Yeah, Wedding Bells are breaking up that old gang of mine. That's what happens to a lot of people. Absolutely.
True.
So you've been really kind of diving into this whole area of music now and experiencing
yes.
it. One of the things I like about it is when you listen to a 78 on a crank-up phonograph, you're really replicating an experience of 100 years ago.
That's exactly right. An authentic period record on an authentic period machine. It's interesting to think that like 90, 100 years ago, this was home entertainment.
Right.
You know? And, you know, you have to be actively involved in the process, meaning you got to keep cranking up the machine. You have to keep changing those needles. It's not a passive experience. You have to be actively engaged with the machine.
And the whole hobby is like that because...
That's exactly right.
To have the machine, to have the right needles... To know that the machine is tuned up properly,
mm-hmm.
having so that it's sounding right.
It's not going to come to you.
Right. And even when you get it, you have to be active in keeping it going.
That's exactly
this is
right.
Because I have, as well as a 78 in cylinder collection, an LP collection. So I listen to LPs
and
quite
45s,
often.
I'm sure.
Sure. So I'll have companies sometimes be like, oh, I'd like to get a record player and have some records.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I pretty much say to them, are you ready for the commitment?
That's exactly
like,
right.
What do you mean?
Well, that's why it's fun to be part of that your Facebook page, the Antique Phonograph Enthusiasts.
Right.
You know, because most people aren't aware of just how many people are out there who just love this.
Right.
You know?
And as we've seen in a lot of photos, a lot of in the past, people are always posing very proudly with their gramophones and phonographs.
Exactly. Exactly.
They take a lot of pride in them, in the music, and... It's status.
I haven't
a lot
photographed.
Of selfies.
That's right.
Like phonographs.
I haven't photographed myself with my machines yet because I'm a home nudist. No,
right.
I'm kidding.
Well, we've seen our share of those. I've seen a fair amount of nude women and
that's right.
with photographs that I've posted. But Tony, please don't post yourself nude on the page with one of your phonographs because
no.
I will ban you.
Okay, it's a deal.
So you know. I don't mind. I guess it's a little biased of me to see, like, you know, a 1920s photo of a naked woman on a photo and, you know, see you take completely. Yes, I admit it.
That's true.
So on that note, let's play a couple more records.
Okay. I'd like to make a comment about this next record, if I
yes.
may. This next record is called Ripsaw Blues by Art Landry and his orchestra. And it's the only instrumental for no particular reason that I selected for today's. And what I'd like listeners to notice on this track is, I don't know whether this was meant to be amusing. I found it amusing, but it sounds to my ear that the instruments are mimicking two people having a conversation, including someone laughing at someone's joke.
Yeah.
So this is Art Landry and his orchestra doing Ripsaw Blues from 1924.
Okay.
Thank you. them all forsake me. You'll pull me through, Tommy boy. You're sent from heaven, and I know your worth. You've made a heaven for me right here on earth. But if the angels grow lonely, take you all there lonely, I'll follow you, Tommy boy.
Okay, more peppy numbers there, Tony. You sure know how to pick them.
Oh, great. That was Sonny Boy by Ernie Golden and his orchestra. That must have been a standard back in the day, because I think I have like 3 recorded versions of that song.
Oh, absolutely. And that was Arthur Fields singing on vocals there.
Yes, that's
absolutely
correct.
Very identifiable voice in popular songs, in vocal refrains of songs. He was all over the place and many pseudonyms.
He seems to encapsulate the sound of the era.
He really had a good voice that translated well from the acoustic to the electric.
Yes, that's true.
And what else did we hear there?
Right before that was Art Landry and his orchestra, Ripsaw Blues. That's the one where the instruments were talking and laughing amongst
right,
each other. That was really
right.
fun.
That was a fun one.
That's right.
Yeah. So when you go out and you're finding records, where are you finding them these days?
Well, Paul Eady, the guy I bought my first Victrola from, he brought me a supply of them, as I mentioned earlier. And if anyone listening would like to get a quality machine, I highly recommend Paul Eady. Go to victor-victrola.com.
Victor Victrola.
Victor-victrola.com.
Okay.
And he's a wonderful guy to work with, very knowledgeable. The machines are completely overhauled mechanically, and he offers you a guarantee, and he's a pleasure to work with.
So he repairs and restores machines also?
He does.
That's a good resource to have, because the thing I always say about a phonograph that you acquire is really the price you pay for it is the finder's fee.
That's exactly it.
You're going to have to put more money into, as we alluded to before, get it into mechanical shape, the reproducer being rebuilt, having it lubricated properly. So, and if you don't have the knowledge to do that, you need someone to help you out with that.
Well, that's exactly right. In fact, when I decided I wanted to buy a Victrola, I wanted it to be fully functional and I wanted it to be beautiful to look at. And because I'm not someone who, I'm not a mechanical kind of guy to putz around with repairs, you know?
Right.
And everyone tells you, well, you can go on Craigslist or eBay and buy something cheap. But yeah, you can do that, like you said, but then you're going to put a whole bunch of money into servicing it.
Right.
And I got my first Victrola in just pristine condition, and it was a joy.
Right, you know? It's ready to go.
So Paul Eady gave me a set of starter records. And the interesting thing is once I got the word out there amongst friends and family that I am now doing this, people started coming to me. Well, you know, I have a friend who's got some.
Oh my God, I got a giant pile of Frank Sinatra Columbia Red labels that you I can sell to you.
Yeah, or people gave
Frank
them to me
Sinatra,
too.
You know. he was very popular.
Yes, he was.
He's so his records are expensive.
Exactly. And my friend Kevin Novak gave me a bunch of records, which was fun.
Yes.
And there's a store in Keyport, New Jersey called The Place for vintage music.
Really?
Yeah, he has a very nice well-curated collection of 78s.
Oh.
And so I've gone there.
Take a trip down there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I will be getting more records, I'm sure, in a few weeks when I go to the Wayne Phono show.
Oh yes,
I'm sure you'll be there.
That?
Oh, it's
in April. Right?
It's a Sunday in April. I'm
I'll
reluctant.
It coming
yeah,
up,
I'm reluctant to say the wrong date.
Right,
but it's a Sunday. I think it's like in about 4 weeks or something like that.
The Mechanical Music
Extravaganza. That's it.
So
yeah.
You can just search that and you'll find the dates pretty easily. But I always recommend that to people who are local to the New York, New Jersey area because, as you say, you can go there. You could see a lot of machines, cylinder and disc type. You can talk with the dealers who are all very knowledgeable. They'll give you the lowdown. They'll say, this one's a fixer-upper that I'm trying to sell. It's a parts machine. Or this one's been completely refurbished. It's ready to go.
That's exactly
and
right.
You can get knowledge and books and all the materials.
And you can pick up a bunch of records really inexpensively, too.
A lot of records. I go there and buy some stuff sometimes.
I try to surround my – well, actually, this applies to anything you're doing. But if you're interested in something, surround yourself with people who know more than you do.
Yes.
And that way you can learn a whole lot. And people are very genuinely interested in letting you know what they know.
Right.
Which is nice.
Right.
Occasionally you'll meet a snob.
I sort of like the cranky old snob guys.
Oh, they're funny. Get off my lawn.
Yeah. Yeah. Those guys are good. They add that old flavor to the cranky collector dude. I sort of would like to have a really cranky old collector on my show.
who's rude to everybody.
Cantankerous.
It makes it clear he doesn't like your taste in records.
Totally belittles me about my machine and my taste and you know everything I say.
That's exactly
it. Yeah. Like we said, you're kind of getting started in this hobby.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that what I find with people is they often start it and then they never stop.
Well, that's it. Anything you love, I think that's always the case. You know, like I'm a musician also, so my appreciation of all this stuff is on multiple levels, you know, and it's starting to influence me in my songwriting as well. So it's wonderful.
There you go. And you have the space for all these 78s?
I'm finding the space.
You're finding little nooks and crannies to slide. That's the thing about them. They could slide into these little areas.
That's right. That's right.
Between books and... book pages.
Yeah, it would have been much harder if we stuck with cylinders back in the day, right?
Right. Well, thank God we don't have to keep all those VHS tapes around anymore either.
Yeah, yeah. That seems to be the goal of technology. Always seems to be to minimize and make things smaller.
Well, it's to the point with music where you don't have to have anything.
Right. You know, I'm by no means a Luddite.
Right.
You know, because I record my music digitally and I use a hot air corn popper, you know. But I think there's something to be said about having a physical object when it comes to music. Because I think once you put an MP3 into your hard drive, it's gone. It's almost like you don't find it anymore. I find that having something in front of your face is a – and I think the process of seeking something out – makes it more valuable to you. I think it's human nature that the easier something is, the less you value it. So if you can buy something just by clicking a mouse, it'll be forgotten about as quickly, probably. Maybe. I'm not sure.
It's more in the just general haze of stuff around us that we just kind of accept as part of the technology.
Yeah.
It just washes over us. Whereas listening to a Victrola is definitely more of a physical, visceral experience.
Well, even the LPs we grew up on is the same thing.
Right. And that's maybe why LPs are having somewhat of a comeback too.
Yeah.
They're never going to come back completely, but they're keep rising in popularity and a lot of bands are putting out LPs. So there's something about the physical acts involved in listening to music that resonates with people.
It will be very interesting in a few years when the first generation that was raised on MP3s only, say, when they're the adults, running things, say, how they will view music, because I have a feeling that maybe a lot of younger people view it as very disposable, maybe not as meaningful.
Yes.
You know, and that would be a shame, I think.
Well, I think a lot of them also are seeing the flip side that we know of, and it's attractive. It used to be not. It used to be so just for the weird people who were into things like old phonographs, but I see a lot of young people very interested in it.
That's exactly right,
so,
yeah.
There you go.
So I think we have a responsibility, people like you and I, to be the cranky old men with the Victrolas.
I can do that.
I'm doing it very well.
Yes, yes. Well, it's a hobby that's ever evolving, and people are getting into it from all sorts of levels. So it's great to have you here, Tony, sharing your point of view on collecting and sharing your records with everybody.
Thank you, Michael. I had a great time.
Absolutely. So we're going to have one more record to play last.
Yep.
But before I do that, I want to say that, yeah, I met Tony through the Facebook page I created called Antique Phonograph Enthusiasts, and all are welcome there to get information and post things, questions, pictures, anything of the phonograph and gramophone
yep.
related.
Yeah, it's a great way to meet and network.
And also, I'm always putting photos on my Instagram, which is Phonograph DJ Mac. So just like you, I'm not a Luddite. I'm doing the crank up machines with oil and grease and doing the Instagram and the Vine and all that other stuff.
That's right. That's right.
Phonograph DJ Mac. So what's our last record, Tony?
Well, I thought we'd close out with a comedy number, a classic that I'm sure everyone's heard of. Yes, We Have No Bananas by the Savoy Havana Band.
One. Yeah. Go back and listen to the archives. I sang that song once with Vince Giordano's band.
Oh, that's awesome. I got to check that out.
It was the highlight of my life.
No doubt.
Absolutely. Okay, folks, until next time, this is your host, Mac of the Antique Phonograph Music Program, saying nighty-night, everybody.
You're listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, in Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org.
Souvenir and write a message in the street.
Gotta let them out.
staring down, think of me. I will be your cross to bear. Now you've got new clothes to wear.
Now the way you look to me, now that I'm all out of body,
don't look. Same. You know how fast the habit